When you listen to a rap song or hear a black athlete after a big win, often they thank mama. But what about black fathers? More than half of black children live with their mothers only, a situation that many critics call a crisis. On the other hand, black men who do step up to the challenge of fatherhood don't always get their props. So what makes some black fathers leave, others stick around? Joining me now, James Cunningham. He directs the Georgia Avenue Rock Creek East Family Support Collaborative in Washington, D.C., and Michael Rogers, a father and lawyer in Indianapolis. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, James, you are a father, a grandfather, four adult children. You work with young men. But first, a little bit about your personal story. When you first heard that you were going to be a father, what came to mind? Did you panic? Were you excited? What were the circumstances in your life?
No, I wasn't raised that way. I was overjoyed. I mean, I'm just excited about it, elated about it, about my first child.
What has been the biggest challenge that you may not have anticipated in being a father? And did you ever have moments where you really felt as if you weren't up to the challenge of fatherhood?
Certainly there has been those kind of days. I've felt sometimes that I just wasn't doing enough. I wasn't making enough, earning enough. I wasn't involved enough. I mean, just all kinds of doubts would come to your mind. But, I knew these were my children, and so I just wanted to stay and do the best I can.
And what made you turn to working with other fathers?
When I returned back to this city, I was seeking employment in another area. Before I came here, I was an ordained minister, seminary graduate, and so I was seeking an opportunity to pastor in this city, and that opportunity didn't afford itself to me, and so I ended up finding a job where with the new fatherhood movement or the fatherhood initiative had just begun, in this area, and so I found a job there and have stayed with it since that time.
Now, Michael, let me turn to you. You're a new father. Congratulations. You've got a 7-month-old baby girl.
Yes, I do.
And your father was not always present in your life. Did you have any sense of, oh, my gosh, how am I going to handle this? Did I get the right tools? Or were you just overjoyed and not nervous at all?
I was really overjoyed. I mean, when I first found out that I was having a father, the first thing I did was pray and thank God for the gift that he'd given me. But I was worried. I saw when my father left my family, and my mother and I, at a very young age, it almost seemed that the triggering event for him pushing out was the advent of having children in my presence. And that really pushed him away from us. And I always worried about that being the case for myself. But I had great role models. I had my grandfather who prepared me well about what manhood was about and what fatherhood would be about. And so when I had the opportunity to be a father myself, I made a promise early on in my life that I was going to be there for my daughter come heck or high water. And so far, so good.
Tell me about your grandfather, because there are many men who step in when a father's not present.
My grandfather was a firefighter for the Indianapolis Fire Department for 40 years. He raised three daughters, and then he raised his grandson, essentially, from the age of 9 forward. And even before that, he was the primary male role model in my life. He taught me what it was to be a man. When my mother couldn't provide the proper guidance and the proper perspective, he was right there to show me the way, and he really became the standard by which I said, well, this is the kind of man that I'm going to be when I become a father, and that I'm not going to let the actions of my biological father improperly influence me on the rest of my life. I believe that you can either resent your father for leaving and then you end up becoming the very thing that you resent, or you can just forgive and then empower yourself to make something different and make it something different for yourself and make a difference in the life of your own children.
James, how do you help instill that kind of attitude, which is, I'm not going to fall into the same trap that my father did? How do you teach people who may be discouraged or overwhelmed to try to live up to that challenge of being a parent?
Well, we do a number of things. One of the things that we do is we teach fathers in classes, and we go over a certain portions of the curriculum which talks about the son, and it talks about the father's legacy, and what will your legacy be. And young men get to understand some things about themselves that they did not know about. I mean, they didn't know that, for instance, the father was was more of an example. They just thought, well, he's gone. I'm not going to worry about it. It doesn't matter to me. But the fact of the matter is that you know, our young folks are growing up and they are emulating, you know, the characteristics and so on of their own father or their father. And we try to help them understand how to get out of that groove, just as the previous gentleman just said. You know, he had to make a decision. Is he going to live that way or is he not going to live that way? Is he going to be upset about it or he's not going to be upset about it? And so we help guys understand that and balance it out and leverage it and look at it and face it. And then they can make valid choices. And when I say valid choices, I'm talking about choices that they make themselves as opposed to just living and then beginning to make choices that they don't necessarily want themselves.
Tell me a little bit more about the kind of men that you work with. Are these people who, for example, got a surprise, honey, I'm pregnant, from a girlfriend, or people who were in relationships that split up? What about socioeconomics? Because money can always play a role in whether or not people feel like they can stick with a relationship, including a relationship with a child. Who are you working with?
We're working with all of the spectrum, the whole spectrum. We're working with ex-offenders who come back home after having a stay in prison for 10, 12 years. Their son or their daughters or both of their children are maybe now 13, 14 years old. They haven't seen them all of their lives. So we're dealing with guys who come, who are young guys, who just found out that they're having a child. So we're dealing with the whole spectrum. And so we've got to be able to, you know, handle all of those situations and help guys understand in every area that they're in, whatever situation that they're in, how to better that situation, how to reunite with their children. And believe it or not, we found out that the majority of the guys that we've dealt with, and over the course of maybe 4 years, we've dealt with hundreds of guys, and the majority of those guys, every one of them want to be with their children. But they find themselves in situations where, as for instance, you know, they're on drugs, they're in addiction, they may be incarcerated, or they may, you know, not feel adequate because they don't have the kind of employment, you know, to put the money in the hands and on the table. So what I'm suggesting is that we deal with all of those kinds of situations, but the reality is that we know is that dads do in fact want to be with their children.
Michael, do you have a relationship with your father now?
No, I don't. You know, occasionally I Google my father to see what's going on, and I've kind of watched him. You know, being a lawyer, you have some resources to find people, and I do watch him and see what he's doing and where he's at. And, you know, there's times when I think about reaching out to him, but I realized that he made a choice in his life early on that he didn't want me to be a part of it. I mean, he ended up remarrying and having children. He actually ended up adopting children that weren't his to raise them, but he really, without taking the time to raise me. And again, you know, that stings a lot. It hurts, you know, and you said, well, why? What was it about me that you didn't want to stick around and take care of me and provide that guidance to me? But I don't have a relationship with my father. The last conversation I really had with him was December 25th, 1991. And I knew when that conversation was over with, that's probably the last time I was really going to talk to him. But, you know, I've forgiven my father, you know, and when I look at my daughter, I never want her to feel that same kind of pain. And I hold her in my arms, and she looks at me, and she knows that I'm the strongest man in the world, and that no one's ever held her so close and so tight and loved her so much. And that's all I want her to know. And I want her to know that I'm always going to be there for her, no matter what. And I don't want her to have that longing, that wondering, and I don't want her to be Googling me, you know, 20 years or 27 years from now, trying to find out what's her father doing.
Does it help you to talk about fatherhood, either about your father or your being a father, with your friends? Do you guys discuss this?
We do. I mean, we have a lot of my friends. We have a group that gets together and a group of guys, and a lot of them have very similar experiences to me. Their fathers weren't around, or they didn't provide the guidance or influence that they needed to provide. And sometimes we say to each other that every day we're making history, every day we're breaking records, every day that we stick around and we show up and we're willing to be there, and from a hard day from work to love on your wife and to love on your daughter and love on your children, that every day that we're making a difference and we're breaking records. And I always say that, you know, I make an impact on my community by being a father, by standing up and saying that I'm going to raise my child, sure. I'm always going to be there for her, without ever calling a press conference or marching in a single movement. I'm impacting my community and changing generations, because the single greatest factor for a child ending up in poverty, on drugs, or so many other problems is not having a father active in their life. And I know that Absolutely. I'm making an impact by being there. So that inspires me, being around others who know who are on the same path and knowing that I'm making a difference, not just in my life and the life of my child, but in the world and the generations that will follow us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Michael and James, we want you to stay with us. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking with Michael Rogers, a father and lawyer in Indianapolis, and James Cunningham, who runs a fatherhood program in Washington, D.C. Tatuba kala lagare samaa.